It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Home of the Dallas Cowboys, Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. That HOV portion of the expressway was driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. The agent from Micah Parsons has responded. Is Jerry Jones going to be in trouble with the league? The man who got the response and wrote the column is Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, Football Night in America, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Mike. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. David Mulugeta, what did he have to say back to you after Jerry's disrespect?
Well, I thought that he took the high road. Basically, it's not about me, he said. It's never about me. It's about trying to get a contract for Micah Parsons that secures multi-generational wealth for him, similar to what Jerry has secured long ago for his own family. So I think it was the right tone. It was the right content, and it was the proper message. I wouldn't have been as charitable after being openly disrespected by Jerry like that. I don't even know his name. Good Lord. I mean, how can you not know the name of one of the most prominent agents right now in the NFL, one of the most successful agents in the NFL? And this all comes down to basic trust and relationships. And Mulugeta recently negotiated a new contract for Derek Stingley with the Houston Texans. 3 years into his career, no clock ticking. You know, the Cowboys feel like they need to have a ticking clock in order to get deals done. You can get deals done if there's mutual trust and respect. And it's clear that the respect is not mutual between Jerry Jones and David Mulugeta.
Yeah, what would Jerry get out of this? First off, do you believe he did not know his name? Why would he do this? And I don't know how well you know Mulugeta, but do you expect him to allow this to factor into the negotiation? Like, okay, I'm going to make you pay a little more now.
I doubt that it'll be a factor. At the end of the day, it's going to be a significant contract, and the Cowboys are already leaking this idea that they've already offered Micah Parsons the best contract for a non-quarterback in NFL history. And of course, that will tend to put pressure on Parsons to take it and overlook things like structure and guarantees and other details that could make the offer not as attractive as the headline in the report that clearly was leaked by the Cowboys. But I think that Jerry knows who he's dealing with. This is just the way that really, really rich people, obscenely rich people, this is how they make power plays. When the Carolina Panthers fired Frank Reich a couple of years ago during the season, the owner of the team, David Tepper, deliberately mispronounced his name and called him Reich multiple times. Who in the hell thinks Frank Reich's last name is Reich? And once is an accident, multiple times is just a signal. It's a message. And it's how the ultra-rich stick it to people when they want to stick it to people. And that's what Muleget is dealing with. At the end of the day, he's just trying to get the best contract possible for his client. And he'll get it. It's just a question of when. And here we are with the Cowboys. Once again, what do they do? What do they do? They drag their feet. They drag their feet instead of just sitting down and doing a deal. Guys, it could be done in an hour. This is simple. It's about the money. It's about the structure. It can be reached very quickly if both sides are willing to do it. And the Cowboys are willing to do it only if they can talk directly to Michael Parsons and cut the agent out of the process.
That's the thing, Mike, I can't wrap my head around, right? These are not dumb guys. They're going to be richer than all of our bank accounts ever put together times a million. Why wait? What are they seeing that we're not seeing in terms of not getting burned by the delays?
I just feel like the Cowboys, and this is where there isn't a completely seamless connection between the way Jerry made his money in oil and gas and how you successfully negotiate contracts in the NFL. He has built his empire on doing deals that are very good for him and maybe not as good for the other side. And it's about one deal after another, and you do a good deal, and it keeps, and it's win-lose, or at least I win, and whatever happens to you doesn't matter. You keep doing these good deals, and you think that that's the same way it works in the NFL. And so they feel like if they wait, one of these days the player is going to wake up and take the offer that's on the table. It really is nonsensical. And it has impacted the ability of the Cowboys to be as competitive as they need to be. They have put themselves in horrible positions. They'll never admit it. They'll never admit it.
Yeah.
They put themselves in an awful position with Dak Prescott by waiting too long to sign him. And then they waited too long to restructure his contract, and it put him in a horrible position again. They put themselves in a horrible position with CeeDee Lamb. It ended up costing more than it would have cost, and they didn't have him ready to go when the season started. So, and they've also made mistakes on the other side too, like when you pay Michael Gallup and maybe you shouldn't have, when you use the franchise tag on Tony Pollard and maybe you shouldn't have, and paid over $10 million, although that's a different vibe now than it was a couple of years ago. It's a weird way of doing business, and there's a stubbornness, and there's an arrogance, and there's an emperor's new clothes reality where who in the building is going to risk their own job by standing up and saying to Jerry or Steven, you guys are messing this up.
Mike Florio here on the
fan. Are you guys going to do it? I mean, he's already threatened to fire you once.
It depends on how the recent contract negotiations go for us. Mike Florio here on 105.3 The Fan. Mike, how often is the agent cut out, and why would the NFLPA not be happy with Jerry?
Here's how this works. The NFLPA is the union that is there to represent the interests of the players collectively and individually. Collectively, what they do is they have a negotiating team that will meet with the league when a collective bargaining agreement is being discussed, negotiated, and finalized. Individually, the NFLPA has delegated its ability to represent every player to agents who are certified by the union and regulated by the union to negotiate contracts on behalf of players. That is the representative of the union who is representing the player in the talks. So when a player has decided to hire an agent, the NFLPA has delegated its exclusive authority to negotiate on behalf of the player to that agent. You can't just ignore that agent, and you can't just go talk directly to the player. And that's what Jerry likes to do. He likes to throw an arm around the guy, whether it's Dez Bryant, to whom he did it. He was doing it to Ezekiel Elliott. These comments, he was on your show, or at least your station in 2019, saying he was doing the same damn thing with Ezekiel Elliott, cutting out the agent. You know, the agent gets his piece and trying to – look, they want to directly deal with the player because they're going to get a better deal if they directly deal with the player, because the player doesn't understand the nuances. The player doesn't understand the industry. The player doesn't understand the markets. You're going to be in a better position to get the player to do a bad deal if he's doing it on his own. And credit to Micah for making it clear there's not going to be any backroom deals here. He's going to have to deal with David Mulugeta, and that's the bottom line. So the wait's going to continue, and the number's only going to keep going up. If T.J. Watt gets a new contract at some point soon, that's going to potentially drive the number even higher, and it's never going to get cheaper. That's what drives me crazy about this. Waiting never makes it cheaper. It only makes it more expensive. It delays the cap space you can create to do other business. And if the player holds out, he's not going to be as ready to go when week one rolls around as he could be.
So, Mike, if they were just having this discussion and Micah said, yeah, I'll do the deal right now, and David was not a part of that, even if Micah agreed to it, it's still not okay with the CBA and the league?
No. And the CBA specifically says that the commissioner must disapprove any contract that was negotiated directly with a player if he's represented by an agent and the agent is cut out of the loop. That is highly improper. And the NFLPA was looking into it 5 years ago. They never did anything about it then, but it tells me that whatever they did didn't stick, if they did anything, because here's Jerry doing it again. And look, this is just a reflection. It's billionaire's privilege. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. We see it all the time now. We're in post-standards America where people just do and say whatever they want to do. And to hell with the consequences. There are no consequences. I'm just going to do and say whatever I want to do. And that's what they're doing here. And, the problem is the fans line up behind the owner because the fans line up behind the laundry. The fans just want the players to be in the fold and happy. And the fans look at it and they say, well, how could he not be happy? He just said last week he'd be the happiest man on earth with $40 million a year. Why doesn't he just take the offer? Why doesn't he just sign the deal? Why doesn't he just get this behind us so we can worry about making the team better? It puts the players in a horrible spot because the teams know that's how you pressure a player. You turn the public against him. You make it look like he's being unreasonable and selfish. And they hope he's just going to wear down at some point and say, fine, I'll just take the damn offer.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, so Mike, you say even if he agreed to it, that wouldn't matter. Does it change anything in terms of the way the PA would look at it or potentially want to take action against it if Micah had initiated the discussions?
Well, it's one thing to talk, but when you're talking about negotiation, when you're talking about working out the contract and getting it to the point where there's terms on paper and he's going to sign it, I mean, the agent has to be involved in this process. And Micah has made it clear, whatever talks he's had with Jerry, David is doing the contract, period. And there's a certain amount of cooperation that I think you need to have because ultimately you're trying to get this multi-billionaire to give you the contract. And if he wants to talk to you, so be it. But I would suspect there are plenty of agents out there who would tell their clients, never talk to the owner without me there. Never talk to anybody with the team about your contract without me there. They're going to try to get you to agree to things that aren't in your best interest. I need to be involved to make sure I know what's being said, and I know that what is said on your behalf is going to be the thing that needs to be said, and it doesn't undermine our position. It's tough. It's tough because the player is there around these people, working with these people, dealing with these people. They're on the same team. It is a strange dichotomy that is part of the business. There are moments where you have to take a step back from the team and take care of yourself, or they're going to take advantage of you, and that's the reality. The teams will always find a way to try to take advantage of the player any way they can to get him to take less. And cutting out the agent is the easiest way to get a player to take less.
Biggest takeaways from the owners' meetings?
Well, this tush-push thing has become the story of the offseason, and now we have to wait until late May to see what they're going to do about this rule. And it's the first time in the 50 years I've been following the NFL – where I feel like there's, and I'm sure that there's been some rule changes that have been proposed in the past and to try to come up with phony arguments that mask what's really going on. But this is the first time I've seen health and safety concerns weaponized in a way that seems to be aimed at taking away the best club in the bag that the Eagles have. They've perfected this strategy of pushing the quarterback from behind and getting first downs, basically turning every first and 10 into a first and 8 because you know those last couple of yards are going to be automatic. And they say there's safety concerns. Well, where's the data? Well, there is no data. Well, then why are we having this conversation? Well, it could be unsafe. Well, when could it be unsafe? Well, I don't know. We need to monitor it. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't look like football. Well, what the hell does that mean? It doesn't look like football. And it's this moving target. And at the core, it just feels like petty jealousy because even though it's available to every team, only one team has perfected it. And we're going to see whether or not they turn the clock back to 2005 when it was a violation to both pull and push a teammate. They removed the ban against pushing because they were never throwing a flag when a lineman would run downfield and shove the ball carrier when he was close to wherever he was trying to get the ball. Nobody thought, hey, one of these days somebody's going to turn this into part of their offense. And it's amazing to me to think that the Eagles have figured it out and no one else can figure out either how to stop it or how to do it themselves. So it just feels like they're trying to erase it from the books and take away that edge that the Eagles have.
Loudest draft buzz that you're most interested in right now?
Well, I mean, the Shedeur Sanders talk is going to dominate and it's going to continue to dominate. And you hear all these different, he's not going to be a round one pick. Of course he's going to be a round one pick. Of course somebody's going to take him in the first round. You're willing to take the risk of a bust at quarterback if you get a franchise guy. And there's three types of teams in the NFL: teams that have a franchise quarterback, teams that don't, and teams that have a guy that they hope will maybe at some point develop into a franchise quarterback. And the teams that know they don't have a franchise quarterback are going to be willing to roll the dice. One of them, all it takes is one. 31 can say there's no way Shedeur Sanders goes in round one. All it takes is one to say, yeah, you know, we probably should take him if he's there. I think that he's still got a very good chance of going top 10. And if not, I see like in the teens, a team is going to jump up and trade up and grab him. Because if he's there at 21 when the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock, I can't imagine they wouldn't take him. And I think you're going to have to get in front of 21. And it may be the Steelers who have to spring up to make sure they get him. But, you know, all this talk, because it's all over the place. Oh, he's not a first-round pick. Oh, he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. Look, there's been a lot of guys who were both bad and good quarterbacks who went in round one relative to Shedeur Sanders. He's going to be just fine, I think. And that's going to be, you know, the big question mark as we head into the next 3 weeks.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, Football Night in America. Where are you with the book series?
Hey, 99 cents ebooks for Father of Mine, its sequel Son of Mine, and the next one is coming, hopefully by the start of football season, maybe sooner, whenever it's done. I just, you know, once it's done, one thing I've learned after doing about 10 of these, once it's done, it's not done. And you got to go back and you got to read and you got to read and you got to read. And with 400 pages or so, the challenge of finding every little glitch and every little typo and making sure everything is said the way you want it to be said, and there's no better way to say it. It's a hell of a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. So 99 cents, ebooks. You can't buy anything for 99 cents. Father of Mine, Son of Mine on Amazon, 99 cent ebook. It's a little bit more if you want the hard copy, and some people prefer it. But if you want something cheap, right now, go to Amazon, 99 cents, Father of Mine and Son of Mine. That's $1.98 together, is my math right? That's nothing. That's nothing. It's a newspaper nowadays. Do they even have newspapers anymore? I don't know. If they did, it'd be $1.98.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Mike Florio, D&M Leasing Hotline here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Are your Texas Rangers last year's Kansas City Chiefs? And what type of weather are we dealing with to close out the week next?
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and hit on a hop to Simeon, out in short right. Flings it to first, and the game is over. For the second straight day, the Rangers have blanked the Reds 1-0. Something that has never happened in Ranger history. Back-to-back 1-0 victories.
Eric Nadel with the call on your home for Rangers baseball. In case you did not know, good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, live with you on DFW Sports Station. Rangers 5-2 to start the season. Do you know who is in second place in the West?
Is it the Angels?
The Angels!
Look at that!
Get rid of the cell phones. Ron Washington. There's a lot of schools now. I saw a national story yesterday talking about getting rid of cell phones in schools. So Wash said, get rid of the phones. Better team chemistry. 4-2. Every single team in the American League West has a negative run differential.
Yeah.
The Angels are at -9 at 4-2. Bobby talked about the AL Central earlier. Every single team is 2-4. And the White Sox, last place, have the only positive run differential.
It's the part of the schedule and the part of the season where you get these weird, quirky, you know,
they're five
standings.
There are five teams in the American League in the green. Five. That's
five?
It. Four in the East. And the White Sox.
And the White Sox. That's it.
Of
Holy
course,
cow.
The White Sox. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, everybody would have expected the White Sox to be that team. Boy, I can't believe the phone thing. Julian was watching opening day on his phone in class. So what are we doing here?
Do you take that to the teacher?
The middle, no, the Addison's middle school, they won't let you have your phone, like, at all in school. You have to lock it up.
There are nine teams in the National League with a positive run differential.
I'm guessing the Braves aren't one of them, being that they're 0-7.
They're not close. But you know that the NL is definitely looking stronger right now. Obviously with the Padres and the Dodgers undefeated, and all of the run differential splits that we see here. I also, I should wait before I read this. Do I have proper consent from everyone here in the room to read something from the group message yesterday?
Well, it depends Shoppy. On what. It depends on what.
It's a stat. Is that okay?
Sure.
That okay. All right. Good. Glad I got consent. All right. The Rangers yesterday with that win went to 5-2. And at the time of that game when it ended, they had the eighth worst run differential in Major League Baseball at 5-2. And that's the weird stuff you're getting. You're getting under 500 teams that have positive run differentials, and that's what happens when you win one run games and the Reds beat you down in one of the series, you know, one of those games that you play. But 5-2 with a negative run differential.
Pepe called the Rangers last year's Chiefs.
The Chiefs, you know, the only way you can win a one score game in baseball is to beat a team by one run. The Rangers have done it 4 out of their 5 wins so far. That's the Chiefs of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a look, that's It's good that they're doing it. It's also like a bad thing because you think that it's gonna. You're just waiting for the odds to catch up, and then you start getting some breaks that go against you. But the reality is that they're probably not gonna pitch like this the rest of the year, and they're also not gonna hit like this the rest of the year.
Historically, if you finish with as many one-run victories as the Rangers did in 2016, or you win as many one-score games as the Vikings did a couple years ago or the Chiefs did last year, historically, in any sport, it generally says you're not going to win the title. Like, that, yeah. You're going to go up against a buzzsaw team. You're eking things out, and eventually things are going to catch up to you, and that's what happened. That's why a lot of people picked the Blue Jays in that series in 2016, was because they were like, yeah, it doesn't matter that the Rangers had the best record. They were winning all these close games.
The Dodgers, I saw the stat yesterday. The Dodgers, since the start of 22, have won of their wins. They've got like 315 wins, right, since the start of 22. 80, 2% of those wins came by two runs or more. Now, league average, when you're the favorite, is 73%. So they're 10. If you just bet the run line on the Dodgers, you would have covered 82% of the time they won.
When do they say in baseball you just sit back at the beginning of the year and don't think about any adjustments
numbers?
Or changes?
Yeah. Oh, 30 days, 30 games-ish?
30 games.
Yeah, at least.
Okay.
So this year, because they started at the end of March, just look at May 1st on the calendar. Just look at May 1st and go.
Yeah, the famous saying is always, well, you can't win the division in April, but you can lose the division in April. That's what the Braves are trying to do.
The story is Jack Leiter, though. Confidence, swag, 99, painting corners, breaking stuff, done after five. We're like, what the heck? I was freaking out. Blister precaution. That's what they're calling it. Kid Muse tweeted me and said Nico traded him. Here is Bochy on right now, the young stud.
I mean, you can just see the confidence growing with this kid. He's got great stuff, and now he's starting to figure out the pitching part of it, and because he has really good secondary pitches to go with the big fastball, and he adjusted. I give him credit. He had a good game plan, and he and Jonah worked well, very well today. So that's what you want to see from these young guys, just growth and a really, really impressive job.
And the bullpen, including Luke Jackson, Bobby, four scoreless innings after Leiter had to come out early.
Yeah, Luke Jackson, everything's solved. We're not worrying about him at all anymore. Sandler was right. Boy, Sandler, you know how many victory laps Sandler's probably taken today against me, Gavin Dawson, others, just like, I told you, I know this baseball team.
Well, Sandler put Leiter in the pen. He said, oh, he's going to be a good closer.
Jared, goodbye.
That's true. But he was going after Dawson for an incorrect. Yeah. Actually, I guess in the end, Dawson's right because he was a number two pick and now he's pitching like an ace. And that's what you wanted there. The slider so far, I went and looked up the analytics on the slider so far for Jack Leiter, which that's been a great pitch for him. He's thrown it 41 times this year. He has not allowed a single hit off of it yet. He has struck out four, not walked anybody, no hits allowed. Last year, hitters hit 286. And had a 430 slugging off of his slider. And he's already got half the strikeouts he had last year on the slider.
Wow.
Ooh, man.
Something else also happened crazy in baseball that had Bobby Belt liking the New York Yankees.
Yeah, look, more specifically, it's not even the Yankees. I like the New York Yankees more than I like Michael Kay. I just don't. I don't like Michael Kay. I think he, there have been too many times I've heard segments of his or rants of his or the way he calls it. I don't like his call. I think his call's stupid.
The TV voice.
Yes. See ya. It's the worst call in sports. There's nothing worse than Michael Kay's see ya. I hate it.
I like it.
But this was pretty entertaining. They were watching Jazz Chisholm come up to bat yesterday. Jazz Chisholm strikes out in this at bat while they're watching him. They don't commentate on his at bat at all. Because Michael Kay is too busy informing Paul O'Neill about Jazz Chisholm's fascination with anime.
What do we got going here, Michael?
Well, that is, he wears a lot of things from an anime series called One Piece. And on his armband, you see Monkey D. Luffy, also known as Straw Hat Luffy. He's the captain and founder of the Straw Hat Pirates.
Nice.
And protagonist of the anime and manga series One Piece. I know you were asking about this, Paul, that Monkey D. Luffy has the properties of rubber after accidentally eating one of the devil fruits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you explained that.
Jazz is a big anime fan.
Now, guys, you know that big chain that he wears sometimes?
Yep.
Hat? Well, that's from that series as well, and he also has that same design in his teeth.
In his teeth? Really?
Yes. So it was new this spring. I think he got it at the end of last year. I asked him about it. I was like, wow, I haven't seen that before. A lot of diamonds.
That's up close and personal.
A lot of diamonds.
And then they go, all right, we'll be right back, because he had struck out. The inning was over. Jazz Chisholm had ended the inning, and they didn't talk about his at-bat at all, because what I love about it is he's clearly... Yeah, what he's got there is, and he's picking up a sheet of paper that either he Googled or he, when talking to Jazz Chisholm, had to write down. But I did like him just effectively selling like the, oh yeah, I'm very up to date with this.
Properties of rubber?
He ate the devil fruit.
Is that what Troy did? One Piece?
Oh, was it One Piece? It might have been.
He was in Borderlands.
What?
Borderlands? Didn't he do? He voiced over for that?
Okay,
you,
sure.
You could have said any word there, okay. And I would have agreed. I have no idea.
Yeah, no clue. So there it is. Yankee broadcast diving into anime.
Oh. Tolo Chris on the YouTube says, I love One Piece, especially the live action series.
Tolo Michael Barris sent a red zone setup. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 different devices on weather apps and maps. Wow. I know it's supposed to rain, but is it supposed to be that bad?
It's, I mean, it's next couple of days. Yeah. I mean, I've been looking at the dang weather this morning. All I see is red. Red the whole day.
75% chance of rain, 86% humidity, 13 mph winds. Like, all my house projects, everyone's canceling them. Like, no. No. Yeah. We have to reschedule for Monday. Looking like today, tomorrow, and Saturday before 53 degrees on Sunday.
And all of it during our commute hours. These storms are all scheduled. They're all scheduled to take place from like 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. over the next few days.
Oh, wow.
During the day, like for instance, I think the rest of the day we'll have some scattered showers, but we're clear. The severe threat with this hail and different things, that's all supposed to hit at like 4 a.m. the next 3 days.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Love hail while we're driving in. It's fantastic.
You had me scared of tornado warnings yesterday. Was that in Arkansas?
Was that? Yeah, it was a 5 out of 5 on the severe weather. So like the National Weather Service only does like 2 or 3 5 out of 5 severe weather days a year. Like, it's very rare. And that was it. Yesterday was one of those days, but it was in like Arkansas.
Look at that. That thing is terrifying.
That was a massive tornado. Yeah,
and it, like, some of the damage you saw after that had shredded that area of Arkansas. Just totally destroyed. They're going to survey that today. I bet we're going to see that's probably EF4, which is the second highest one you can get.
Is that close to where you vacation?
Mm-mm,
Hot Springs?
Nope. That's not where that is. But I mean, they were like, that's shot from a storm shelter. The guy was up filming it and then jumped back in.
Hey, you got your storm shelter. You're set to go.
I do have a storm shelter. Calipari sitting there like,
Where the hell did I go? That was in Kentucky. Where did I go?
Kentucky, all these
bourbon trails,
slick East Coast cities.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden in Arkansas.
Kentucky has plenty of tornadoes too, I feel
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. That whole kind of, you know, West Virginia, before the apps.
Yeah.
Before the apps.
The apps?
The Appalachians.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the new emojis on the cell phones.
I know, we got 8 new ones.
877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up here on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby on DFW Sports Station. Why the New York Jets might be the most depressing reality for Dallas sports fans, especially after the AD game winner last night. That's next. And Below the Belt on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
And it goes into Davis. And it's Anthony Davis driving. Yay. It's in there. 3.4 to go. It's not a walk-off yet, but it's a 2-point lead, courtesy of AD.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
A Mavericks highlight in Below the Belt? How is that the case? This is supposed to be about football. Well, it is. It is about football and how Woody Johnson makes me sad to be a Mavericks fan. So Woody Johnson is, would we say he's the number one seed right now in professional sports for just like dumbest owner, or just like
he
that's
seems
the
pretty bad. Tepper seems like he's getting a bit of a pass here because Woody's taking all the heat. But Woody is, I mean, look, when you've had 9 straight losing seasons.
Is it 9?
9, and you haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. I mean, it's tough to get you off the podium there.
Like, Tepper seems like more of a jerk.
Right.
Woody seems maybe a little more clueless.
Yeah, Tepper's
unserious.
Tepper's a jerk, and Tepper has no patience. Like, his issue with, like, changing through coaches and everything, that's his biggest problem. He seems like in the last year or so, I haven't heard much from Tepper. It sounds like he maybe has pulled back a little after the league slapped him on the hand. Woody Johnson never pulls back at all. He just goes like, how much more power can I give my teenage son, Brick? Let's see what he thinks about the Madden ratings.
He also totally, well, I think you're about to get to it.
Well, so the NFLPA report had they give the team report cards. We go over it every year. And Woody Johnson and the Jets got absolutely crushed in it. In the new survey, they were ranked last in a number of different things. The Jets ranked 29th out of 32 teams, and Woody Johnson ranked last in a question about each owner's willingness to invest in facilities. So when you hear that kind of news, you know, we heard the Cleveland Browns this week talk about, man, we screwed that up with Deshaun Watson. We're sorry. Shouldn't have done that. We have to own that. That's on us.
You see Deshaun's social media response basically saying, you know, it would bother me if I wasn't built
right.
for it.
I'm built for the moment, so it doesn't bother me. And that's like, that actually is, okay, I didn't hate it. Didn't hate the response.
You didn't?
No, I mean,
I think he's shown that he's not built for much. Like, that's been an issue. Like, between the ears is exactly the problem with him. So just, it seems a little, is that like a...
Choppy's sending that to his son in the newest inspirational phase today.
That's right.
Maybe if I weren't built for this, I'd let it phase me.
You should do that as your new bit of your inspiration quotes. It's just whatever Deshaun Watson's tweeted that day. Send that to Julian.
You seem the opposite of inspirational quote guy.
Inspirational quote. I saw something and I was like, remember, like, there's not another... No... What did I say? I said, I'm the only man who wants you to be better than them.
Okay.
That's it. The new RJ Choppy.
No guy wants another guy to be better than them, but you want your son to be better than you.
No, we understand it. Yeah, like, we just don't understand how you've transformed.
Because I have to create a toxic masculine man, and that means that's what you have to... Toxic masculinity is inspired by motivational quotes.
Because
we're dumb. We're easily manipulated by those things.
Sets your guideline.
Right. I thought you having a daughter was going to soften you up. It softened Chop up somehow by transitive properties, it looks like. So the Jets got absolutely destroyed in this survey. Woody Johnson was asked about it. Typically, like I said, Cleveland owns their stuff. Steven in recent years has said, guys, look, legitimate criticism you want to throw at us, and we got to own it. Like, we got to prove y'all wrong. That's generally how people respond to things. Not Woody Johnson. They said, what do you think about this? How are you going to respond to it? He goes, my first read is I think it's totally bogus. So he says, nope, BS. This anonymous survey from players who are in the building, they don't know what they're talking about. He went on to say that his problem was, he said, the whole thing was the issue. They said, what specifically is wrong? He said, the whole thing, how they collected the information, who they collected it from. How are you supposed to know who they collected it from? It's anonymous, Woody. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a process where we have representatives and they have representatives, so we know it's an honest survey. Really, that sounds like you want to bully the survey is what it is. He says that was violated, in my opinion, so I'll leave it at that. There's a lot of owners that looked at this survey and said, this is not fair, not balanced. It's not every player. It's not even representative of the players. And my first instinct was to laugh at this because, you know, misery loves company. Yeah. We've had a bad run here recently with the Luka trade, things ending the way they did with the Cowboys. But I was chuckling at it. I was like, at least I'm not a Jets fan. And then I realized I am. I am a Jets fan because this complete refusal to accept feedback people provide to you and the things that are told you of, like, hey, this is a concern for us, this is not the first time with Woody Johnson that he's had this happen. This is, to a T, Nico Harrison and the Dallas Mavericks. And I realized the Dallas Mavericks right now are the New York Jets of the NBA. That's what they've become. And their refusal to just, we are so right and we are so dug in, and it's going to be our way. And if you don't, you're just too dumb to comprehend it if you don't think it was right.
To be fair, how long did you say they haven't made the postseason?
It's 14 years.
Yeah. The Mavericks are a couple months into this. So
true.
Coming out and holding a press conference and saying, we made a mistake, that's ridiculous.
True, but Woody Johnson got to the AFC title game, had success with the Jets early on, just like Nico's had success early on. It turns at some point, this is the path he's following. I'm sure Nico Harrison, if not for his distaste for the European Union, I'm sure he would be an ambassador for the UK or something else too. But no, that's not what happens. That was the thing, is that when I read this and I went back and looked at the article from October that The Athletic did on the Jets, and the way that they handle disagreement, the way that they handle people saying, I don't think you're doing things the right way, it's the same sort of silence tactics and the same sort of, you know, issues of just like, you don't get it. If you don't see it, you don't get it. It's not that I'm wrong. It's that you don't get it. And Woody Johnson, at least he is offering to pay some people. He's at least offering to give people a check to get out of there.
Man, this was Sports Business Journal. The Woody Johnson has offered 170 of the 250 employees the Jets have a buyout. So two-thirds of the company.
Two-thirds.
So it would give them, these employees, ready for this, 18 months full salary.
Whoa!
Plus health insurance if they leave.
Where's this coming from?
Sports Business
Journal.
Oh.
People wanting to leave.
So it's a, this is a cultural shift for them. This has nothing to do with money. He's hoping the offer causes workers reflecting on your long-term goals, interest, and whether you fit with the franchise. So, like, if you're just here for a job, a paycheck, he's like, just take the money and get out. Because if you are, if you have a job like that, where other companies have this HR, accounting, whatever, sales, you take your 18-month salary, then you go find another job. You're still getting the 18 months. You can find another job. It's not like, now, if you work for like the website and you're like a writer, you know, you might not do that because those are scarce, right? But if you have a job that like you, there's, you can go to any company and on LinkedIn there's 50 jobs available, take your 18 months, man. That's a year and a half free salary. If you're making 100 grand, they're just going to give you $150,000 and health insurance for the 18 months and then go find another job and double dip.
I take it back then. They're worse than the Jets because Patrick Dumont is not paying people to go away.
Yeah.
He's just, you can leave if you're unhappy. He's certainly, he wouldn't pay for Lucas Supermax. He's not going to pay people to do nothing for him. All right. Over at Pro Football Talk, we just talked to Mike Florio earlier this hour about the Micah Parsons contract negotiations. But he summarized the latest league discussions surrounding sportsmanship. As we all know, NFL stands for No Fun League. That's what it has gotten the moniker for. The NFL will double down on sportsmanship next season. Executive Vice President of Football Operations Troy Vincent told reporters on Tuesday, violent gestures are up 133%. I like this description.
Is that the CD sniff?
They would count one of those.
Yep.
And sexual taunting is up 52%. What is sexual taunting to them?
A lot of hip thrusting. Maybe some DX stuff.
I'll show you my son's second base celebration here in a little bit.
Your son's?
Yeah, I'll show you that one.
So this isn't like Madam stuff. This is about like the celebration.
This is about the celebration. But yeah, like that's.
Is it worse than the Coke sniff at Tennessee?
No, that was at Michigan. That was at Michigan.
Oh, Michigan, sorry.
Yeah, that was diabolical, man. That was a mess. I haven't seen that yet. I have not seen any youth players slide into third and then sniff the chalk.
This whole no fun league, though, that has been toned down because they've allowed celebrations and you can even get together with a teammate to celebrate.
A little bit. Yeah, they've done that. But this, like, this is similar to the last hour when we played the state senator who was like, well, look, if you're going to do movies here, no cussing. Like, you're going to want them to be these warriors on the football field and have these coaches coach them up with that sort of mentality. And then you don't want them to celebrate in a manner that's like in a very alpha, I'm the guy type of way.
It doesn't have to be an OnlyFans video that you're making. You don't need to have, I don't need to see ravishing Rick Rude out there.
Look, as long as they just actually reply to the DMs, I don't think the NFL should have a problem with the players as long as they're not outsourcing that. Troy Vincent said, it just has no place in the game. We have clear video examples we'll share with the players and about just what it means to be a professional at all times. My thing is, who's complaining about it? Because I don't see the fans really complaining.
That woman, that Texas movie.
Donna Campbell.
Yes. Donna Campbell, who said no cursing.
Yeah, and I mean, she's glued to her TV every Sunday watching 12 hours of football.
Yeah.
But the fans are not the ones complaining about this. I don't think the advertisers would. I guess it's them. Is that who it must be? Some advertisers have complained about it? Because if it's not that, then this is just some weird NFL stance going, we're gonna set a certain standard for morality that we think we should have here, which I don't know why they care about.
You know, the NFL advertisers are geared towards, like, aren't generally geared towards men. Like, are men really worried about that?
I mean,
it doesn't bother me. I mean, but do these beer companies really care?
This is probably just a fake PR thing. We've gotten past concussions for the most part.
Now this is our next thing. This is our next thing.
You know, we got rid of equality on the field. We scrubbed that from the end zone. So this is our next initiative.
They ended it. They were able to take it out of there. They ended it. Real quickly here, last note. The NFL has changed its rules about teams who can appear on Hard Knocks. It is broadened now. In the past, if you made the postseason, you didn't have to do Hard Knocks the next year. They have removed that from their list of criteria. The new criteria to where you can get an exemption from Hard Knocks is a team that does not have a first-year head coach, is not a member of the division that's being featured in Hard Knocks in season for the upcoming season. So if the Eagles are being featured, then Washington, New York, and Dallas couldn't be featured. Has not been featured in Hard Knocks training camp in the previous 8 seasons. And is not then exempt from selection based on such club's participation in Hard Knocks or a similar access show prior to the 2024 pursuant to the new parameters. So if you've made the playoffs, that used to be a way to get you out of this. That is no longer the case. The NFL says, nope, we got to find more teams who are willing to do this stuff.
Once the word pursuant was thrown in there, I have no idea what the hell the whole thing meant.
Does it list the teams eligible, or it's just so wide open you can't narrow it down?
No, yeah, it's a little more wide than that. They just had listed that that was the new parameters that could get you picked for it.
Below the belt every single day here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Brendan Haywood, the former Maverick, talking Final Four with his NCAA coverage at 9:15. But RJ has a college kegger first. The Texas A&M Aggies put in their place next on The Fan.